oddball Oklahoma week. And I know everybody, hopefully you got out yesterday and enjoyed a little bit of sunshine. I hope it made your week, because I'm sure we have more rain coming. So this morning, we're actually going to do this before we even start anything in the message today. I wanted to take a minute to ask this. In here today, do we have anybody who served in our military? I didn't know if we did or not. I wasn't sure. Okay, well then I'm going to say this. If you get a chance this weekend, if you get a chance, honestly, whenever you think about it, I always think it's nice to include our service members in prayer. Those guys go through a lot when they're there and when they get back. And I've got some friends that I just know that they need prayer. And this time of year is kind of hard for some of them, because Memorial Day isn't just a day we recognize them. It's that we recognize the ones that didn't make it back. And so today, if you would, I just wanted to start this service off with just a prayer, and just taking a second to remember them for what they've done. Because, I mean, we have a lot of freedom in this country today, and I 100% attribute it to soldiers, men and women, who made it possible for us to have some of these freedoms. So if you would today, I just bow your heads with me. I want to say a prayer for them. Father, we thank you today that we have this privilege to gather here. And Lord, we ask you today to bless those families who have lost loved ones in the service of our military. Lord, tomorrow's Memorial Day, and we'll get together with friends and family all over this country, and we'll hang out. But Lord, the whole point of this day is supposed to remember those who gave a sacrifice for us. Lord, they laid down their lives so that we could have something, and that is, it is such an amazing act that we know very few people who have done it willingly. And Lord, we just thank you today for what they have done. We pray that you bless their families. And I pray, Lord, that you just keep our soldiers safe wherever they are right now, Lord. And we lift them up today, Lord, and pray a blessing of safety, protection, and just favor upon them, Lord. We thank you for this. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's funny. I actually come from a military family. You haven't ever actually met my dad in person yet. He looks like the kindest old man you've ever seen. And I can call him old man. I know you're watching me on this. But he looks like the kindest old man you've ever seen. But that guy could like snap you like that. And he proved it to me so many times when I was a teenager. I 100% stopped back talking. And so, Dad, way to go. He was like 19 years. He didn't do 20 because he didn't want to go back overseas. So I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. But thank you guys for being here. And this morning, this is going to be a very fun sermon for me, because I get to stand here and see all your faces react as we go through this today. And I actually want to start today with a quote. And it's a simple quote from someone. You may have heard them. They were a preacher back in the day. There's tons of things that we've read on them, about them, their sermons, different things. But one of my favorite quotes that he had, Dwight L. Moody, and one of my favorite quotes was, "God doesn't seek golden vessels, and he does not ask for silver ones, but he must have clean ones." And I thought, that's a really good quote. You know, have you ever really thought about that? You know, we've had sermons before where we've touched on that note, you know, where Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he told them, "You guys are like whitewashed tombs. You're perfect on the outside, but inside you're just dead and you're rotting and nasty." Like, you know, you think about that. Like, if you go to the kitchen and you grab a cup to use, how many of you guys look inside that cup? Okay, some of you in there. Yes, my wife does. I knew her hand would go up because one too many times I wasn't paying attention when I unloaded the dishwasher. And I was like, "Oh, those were dirty. Oh, well, then it's, you know, roulette with whatever you're getting out of that silverware drawer or anything else. And I'm sorry, honey, because I just throw them all in." And, you know, I was hoping, though, I get my star, right? So, but she has the habit. I know she looks in cups often. But, you know, you think about it. There's so many things that we expect to be clean. You go to a restaurant, you expect that plate to be clean. You expect that cup to be clean. You know, as far as people go, you expect the best of people, but a lot of times we wonder. Well, today, stop wondering about them. We're going to talk about ourselves, okay? Because one thing I cannot stand in church is the fact that, I grew up thinking part of being a Christian was to make sure I didn't do anything the sinners did. It's sort of like I had this wall up. And if you have like the slightest perception of being someone I shouldn't hang out with, man, I like ran the other way. And you know, you think about it, Jesus, he sat with the sinners, but he didn't sin with the sinners. Okay? There's a difference. So today, I know we live in a world that is toxic, okay? But I want you to see something today, that it is possible that some of us, little by little, have allowed the inside to get a little dirty. We're going to talk about that today. I'm actually going to pull out one other quote, because sometimes I like what other people say because it's really intelligent, and if I quote it, I can get like a half credit for that. So there's Pastor Craig Groeschel. He pastors Life Church. He's written several books. One of his books, I can't even remember which one it is, but it had this quote in it that I had written down in some notes. He talks about basically how he never realized how unhealthy life was growing up as a teenager. He actually said that both of his parents smoked, and it wasn't until he went off to college that he realized how different everything was. And he said that it wasn't until he got outside of his house and really breathed fresh air for so long that he realized he was in kind of a toxic environment and a situation. He talks about going back to visit him, and he notices that everything had like that dark yellow tint on the walls because they smoked inside so much. And that he noticed that when he went to college, he said, when he went to like wash his clothes, he said that his friends asked him, like, have you washed your clothes? They reek of smoke. And he's like, yeah, I washed them at home, then brought them. And he didn't realize that the smell was just getting right back in him after he washed them, because it's in that environment. You know, it's crazy to think about, but like, we have friends at the workplace. We have friends, some of us even have family members. Like, lots of people in our family, I'm like the black sheep uncle because I teach my nephew stupid stuff. I'm not trying to get him in trouble, just trying to let him live a little bit, because they go home to their moms and they're not coming to my house. But some people have that one uncle that goes too far, and he does stuff that you're like, okay, keep that guy away from our kids. Don't be that person in the family. But my point today, where we're kind of getting to with this, we've all got to be very aware of not just our surroundings, but how they affect us little by little. You know, you've heard that, you ever heard the old story about how you can boil a frog if you just slowly, you put him in cold water, you slowly turn up the temperature, he never jumps out because he never notices it's getting hotter? You ever heard that? Some people are like, why are you boiling frogs? It's an old saying. I don't know why they did it back then, but it was, they had no Netflix. I don't know. They were bored. So anyways, we're going to start off here in 2 Timothy 3. And it says this, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Here's where this gets deep. We have even talked about this before. I know that I've read this 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 before in a service. But we talked about the first part. We talked about how the world is getting. And we get that. If you read this, some of you found in your mind, you got, yep, I know that. Yep, somebody did that last week. Yep, I know something like that. You can correlate with Scripture what's going on all around us. You see that people are just growing cold and cruel, and they're just disobedient at everything. It's like, it's so much more a normal thing to see someone do something wrong than it is something right. And, you know, we focused on that. Today, what the focus is the last part. Did you notice that he says, they will betray their friends, be reckless, puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God, they, he still says they. So he's just talking about people in general. They will act religious, but they will reject power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. See, some people, you know, you read this and you ask, you know, well, am I loving? Am I do I have self-control? Do I slander other people? Okay, forget that checklist today. Here's the checklist we're having today. Are you rejecting the power that could make you godly? There's a difference in going to church and being here and being happy and showing face. Like, I mean, I can go to Lowe's, put on a vest and smile, doesn't make me a worker. Which I'm not going to lie, I've thought about doing before because those guys give horrible advice on stuff. So I'm trying to, seriously, you know what I'm saying? Yes. I'm sorry, Lowe's. I keep waiting to see who's going to sue us first. So anyways, one of the things that I want to talk about is just, we can't just act religious. It does nobody any good. If you go up to somebody and genuinely say to them, how are you doing? And they respond back with, man, it's been a rough week. And you go, I'm sorry to hear that. And you walk off, you're acting. You really didn't care, okay? If somebody says, I'm having a rough week, and you say, hey, hold on, let me change my schedule. Let's go grab a coffee or grab some lunch. Let's talk about this because I don't want to see another one of my brothers or sisters down and hurting this week because I've been there. That is loving somebody. That is living the walk you're supposed to walk. There's a difference. We can't just act it. This is the part, okay, yeah, I'm going to take a breath because I'm about to yell. So, okay, here's what it is. If we just start acting like everybody else, if we just, you know, stop for a second and think, if we just act like everybody else, this is what we're doing. Proverbs 25:26 says, if the godly give in to the wicked, it's like polluting a fountain or muddying a spring. I want you to think about that. You ever been somewhere where the water had a little bit of tinge to it when you went to a restaurant and you're like, I ain't drinking that. Greenville, Mississippi, dear Lord. Don't you ever drink tap water from that town. Like, I went there and I ordered a water. It looked like iced tea and everybody drank it, had no problem with it because they kept telling me, well, that's how the water comes out. Mississippi's so close. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want it. So, no, it just looked gross. It's the same thing. When you start, you got to get this. If you don't get the reference, you're supposed to be the clean spring. Christians are supposed to be the clean spring. We cannot let other things come in that muddy us up and just make us nasty. You know, I mean, has anybody else in here watched over the years? And I'm going to read this so I don't like rant off trail. I want to rant on trail. But it's a new phrase. So I have watched for years and I've seen values decline. We see standards in some churches drop so that they can include anybody just to be inclusive. We've polluted the fountain. Instead of repenting, we have invited others to see what we have created. Really think about that. I would rather have a church of 50 people that knew what truth was, where truth is, where the lines are, and we don't cross them, than to have 5,000 people and everybody just singing a song and happy and leaves. And, oh, yeah, I had a great Sunday. He didn't hurt my feelings at all. I hope I hurt your feelings once a month. Because you know what? That means something was hard on you and you're going to change. Can you ever? Okay, and I will say this. Okay, when you were growing up, did your parents have two different styles of parenting? One was easy. One was I was pretty loud. I won't say who that was. So you have two different styles. You have one that's real easy and one that's like, dear Lord, don't make them mad. Okay? In our house, it's not me. You don't want to make her mad. And Eli knows it. She's like, clean your room. He is running there. He is picking stuff. I'm like, clean your room. He's like, you want to play? And I was like, all right, for a few minutes. Because I'm horrible about it. I know, I'm horrible, sorry. But like, you know, we think about this, like, I don't want to just be here to help you feel happy. I want you to understand that sometimes we have to get a little harsh on ourselves and really take notice of, are we crossing a line? I don't ever intend to hurt anyone, but I do intend to be honest. You know, and I've noticed this too. Have you noticed that we laugh at things in the world that we would never dare repeat in church? Think about it. Somebody ever sent you something on Facebook or text you a meme, sent you something, you laughed at it, and the very second it was over, you're like trying to delete it so that somebody else doesn't see it on your phone. You probably shouldn't have been laughing at it or anything like that. You should probably tell that other person, don't you dare text me that junk again. We envy things that we should never be envying. We look at other people and we see someone, we're like, well, man, they're like 2% body fat. I want to be like that person. That guy never eats tacos. I don't want to be like that guy. Think about the other side. Stop envying people. You see people that have million-dollar houses. You know what they pay in property tax? No. I'm good. I got my house. I'm good. See people with million-dollar cars. You want to drive that around all tensed up, praying that some 15-year-old just got his permit, didn't slam inside of your Ferrari? No. I got an old truck that's a tank. You dent it, we'll pop that back out and go back to the lake. You got to see that the stuff in this world is so temporary. The stuff in this world is so temporary, and it's not worth envying. It's not worth getting closer to the world so you can feel comfortable with everybody else. It's okay to feel a little discomfort. Matter of fact, I encourage it. Because the more you can put yourself in a place where you feel like you're standing for your values and no one else is, you'll get used to that feeling. Get used to that bubble. Get used to being the person that when something is said in the room, here's the challenge. When a bad joke is said in the room, does everybody laugh and go about their day? Or do some people laugh and then they look at you to see what you're going to do? That is a test. You know, we've participated in things that we should not have participated in. See, some of us have had this mentality. I remember having this conversation with someone one day. I will not out them if you're watching, but I love you. And it was a conversation of almost twisting some scriptures to their advantage so they could do certain things. And they would do certain things just hoping that church people didn't find out. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, this church is going to be judging you on Judgment Day. No, they're not. Whatever you do, you're going to get judged for. If you know it's a sin, stay away from it. See, the problem with a lot of us is we have done so many things just nonchalantly anymore. We just don't even think about it. We don't think about where the lines are. We don't think about where God has said, stay away from these things. Maintain yourself. Be clean. Stay away from these things that would pollute you. That I guarantee you, some people have seen our walks and said, if that's how a Christian acts, that's the same way I act, and there's no reason I need to go to church and change anything. That's what's scary. We have to be different. And what's really bad about it is there are scriptures like this. Jeremiah 5:25 says, your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all these good things. It is possible to get to a point to where you're robbing yourself of what God could have for you. This goes right back to those people who pretend to be religious and deny the power that could make them godly. What you're missing out on is not just blessings. See, some people, when you read this, you think blessings, you think less stress, more money, more free time. You think of things like that. That's not necessarily what a blessing is. Sometimes blessings can be other things. Sometimes it can be the fact that something never even came your way in the first place. Sometimes it can be God's incredible protection on you. Sometimes it can be God protecting you from even going to what you consider the next level, because that next level may never be meant for you. Wherever God has placed you, there's probably a reason. When you step outside of that, that's when you have a chance to rob yourself. That's when you have a chance to mess this up. See, there's a psalm that I know you guys have heard probably pieces of it. And I'm going to read a section of this psalm, Psalm 51. Starting in verse 7, it says, purify me, from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. I love that scripture. This scripture was written by David, and it was written when Nathan the prophet called him on what he had done with Bathsheba. After he had Uriah killed and everything that happened with her, Nathan calls him on it, and David repents. But he writes this to show you something. After this is when David was called a man after God's own heart. This should show you today that it does not matter what you did, where you've been, or even where you're at now. Tomorrow, in 5 minutes from now, you can be right back to where you were with God. You can just simply pray. See, this psalm was David's prayer. He asked God to purify him. See, you know, we talk about like that muddy spring and things have gotten into our life, whether it's stuff we've seen on TV, stuff we listen to, people, whatever it may be. When those things start to defile and muddy up who we are, purity is what needs to happen next. It needs to be purified. It can get purified. If you've ever seen a water filtration plant, you'd be amazed at nasty water before it comes back to your tap, okay? It gets purified, but it gets beat down, tossed around, run through several processes, and I guarantee you by the time the water had feelings, it would feel like it got ran over by a truck. It may feel like that some days too when you decide to make a step back to where God has you to be. When you have that day, because I guarantee you everybody has this day, whether you've had it or whether you will have it, there is a day where you will allow something to muddy you up and you will need to be clean again. When that happens, remember, David just simply prayed, purify me and then I will be clean. He puts his trust in God and says, purify me and I will be clean. Wash me. And I love how he asks to create in me a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. You know, I know that God sees everything that we've done. I know that he sees our hearts, and I know that he loves us, and I know that he forgives us. But I want to remind you of that today. We know that God forgives, but we also know that God corrects. Once you've been forgiven, you're back in the family. That's how it simply works. You're never an outcast. If you ask to come back, you're back. And our Heavenly Father knows how to discipline and correct us, even if it hurts. And that's the hard part. Coming back, once you've let stuff kind of muddy things up and you come back and you want to be purified, it's not an easy process. It can be painful, but at the same time, just remember, that's a good pain. It's like working out. You ever heard no pain, no gain? One, I hate that thought because, man, it does hurt, and I'd rather be sitting at home eating tacos. But no pain, no gain. Same thing here, though. No pain, no gain. It is difficult to cut things out of your life so that you can remain pure, but it's worth it. Hebrews 12, 5 through 10 says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child, as his child. Verse 7 says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly father disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. If you feel like God is giving you too much, like he's disciplining you, like he's training you, like he's teaching you, then you should rejoice in that stress, that push, that pain, that whatever you want to call it, because it means you are his child and he is teaching and training you. He is correcting you. That is the hardest thing to understand, because most of us don't like discipline. We don't like to be disciplined. We don't mind discipline as far as, you know, getting up at a certain time, going to work at a certain time, or maybe we've got certain things we do on schedule. We're disciplined to do those. But oh my word, if someone tells you, you did that wrong, now I'm going to have to discipline you. Well, you're adults, so most people don't tell you that, but unless you empty the dishwasher wrong every time. And then you start to be told, that's going to mold. So I actually have, I have kind of a funny story, and I say funny, please don't think I'm crazy, but I have a funny story that just kind of illustrates discipline, and I never thought about it till years after the matter, and I think I've told this story at least once at every church I've been on staff at, because it just, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, that would fit just fine there. It's a good example. Anyways, when Eli, I'm going to say he was 3. I think that's what I've calculated in my head. He was 3 years old. I lived in Lindsay, Oklahoma. I lived in a house that I had bought for dirt cheap because it was built in 1902. And it was a 2-story house that was enormous for that time, and the person that owned it just wanted to get rid of it. So I'd been remodeling this thing and doing all kinds of stuff. Started with his room, and he was in there, and he was, you know, playpen gate up, playing with his stuff. I'm in the kitchen. The kitchen is stupid long. Like, long. Almost. It's not as long as this room. Maybe from me to Rick. Like, it's long. And I'm over here at the windows, and I'm fixing some tools. That's where I had all my bags. I'm fixing some tools up. All of a sudden, I hear something. I turn around, and Eli is over at the kitchen counter. See, what I'd been working on was the plumbing. Something was messed up in the plumbing, and I was so young at the time that the only thing I thought could clear a drain was Drano. And so, learned a lot since then. I had poured Drano into a 12-ounce glass that was clear. Drano is clear. I needed to measure how much to put in the stupid drain, because it told me you had to use so much. So I used one of our water glasses, because that's 12 ounces. I know how much to put. Eli comes walking around the corner, and he reaches for that glass. And it's so far from me to him, I know that by the time I get there to him, he might get some of that in his mouth. So I reach over, and there was a football that my daughter and I were playing with. And I have never hurled a side pass that hard and that fast in my life. And I hit him right in the mouth. That cup went flying and broke on the back wall. It had like splash tile back there on the back. The cup broke. It went all over the sink area. He starts screaming. Maddie's yelling at me, "What did you do?" Picked him up, like, saved his life. At the time, Eli did not agree with my technique. But you know what? I didn't have to call poison control that day. That discipline, that correcting, that, whoa, don't go that far, boy, hurt him at the moment. But he's alive. Some of us in here today need to understand this last verse. Hebrews 12, 11 through 13 says, "No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong." The path you need to be marking is straight to Jesus. It is straight to what he teaches. It is straight to what he commanded. It is straight to the things that he laid out of right and wrong. He did an incredible job at not just giving us these lines of what to do, what not to do. But if you'll just go back, read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I challenge you that. Go back and read through them, and read through them with the mindset of, what is God telling me? Where are my boundaries? What am I supposed to do? How do I stay inside of his plan so that I'm not corrupting anything about myself? It's in there, but you have to read it. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, well, God just doesn't speak to me anymore. I'm like, did you read the Bible yet? Well, no, but God didn't speak to me. I'm like, read that first, then we'll talk. That's the hardest part. And some of you, if you don't like to read, get it on audio. Get the Bible app. It's free. You can listen to the whole thing front to back. I mean, call me. I'll read it to you. You want, whatever. Like, somebody's going to take me up on that now. It's going to be you, isn't it, Pete? I see you laughing back there. So just do this. Read the Bible. It is so clear in there. I promise you. A lot more times than not, we don't realize that little by little, things have started to creep in. We have to be very careful of that. Do not let yourself become like everybody else because it's easy. That, I mean, when did just sitting back and doing nothing ever help anybody? We have to be strong. We have to take a stand. Even if we're the only one standing, we have to take a stand for what we believe. So this morning, I forgot to put it on here, but Crystal's going to find us some music to put on here because we're going to pray here in a second. And while we're doing that, I'm going to move this further back out of the way. While she's getting that ready, I wanted you guys to hear this. If you would, bow your heads for a second. This morning, I wanted to remind you of something. You know, my wife had mentioned that she was just feeling kind of nostalgic with some of the worship this morning, and that she just, you know, picked a few things that were stuff that we didn't normally sing. She just felt like it was that kind of day. Well, this is one of those days that I felt like I should add this to the end of our service because I wanted you to hear this. You know, when I was growing up, when a lot of us were growing up, there was a huge emphasis on bringing your troubles to the altar. See, the whole point of bringing something to an altar used to be, in the Old Testament, if you looked at it, it was bringing something dead. They were sacrifices that they would put on this altar to give to God. They were sacrifices that they would put on the altar to give to God. God would forgive their sins and he would bless them. That's where the practice of the altar came in. And you know, growing up, I can remember so many times people telling me that, you know, you need to come to the altar and repent. And I never understood it until someone explained it to me like this. You know, if you have become dead inside, if you have let a little part of you die, if you have become one of those people who have acted religious on the outside, but on the inside, you've been denying what God can really do in you. You've let the world corrupt you a little bit. You've let things come in that just, you knew you shouldn't have, but at the time it was hard to resist and you didn't resist and now it's in there and you just don't know what to do because you just feel a little dead. That's what I'm challenging you to do today is this. At the front of our stage, I know this is not an altar, but you can make it one. See, the ideal was in the Old Testament, these people sometimes would travel for days to get to the temple to make these sacrifices. They would travel. They would bring God these gifts. And I don't think it's too much to ask today that we're going to try this. If you are able, and this morning you wanted to come and bring yourself to an altar, and just pray, God, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me of my sins. Just like David prayed. I guarantee you, you can be just like him in the same fact that people will call you a man or a woman after God's own heart, because when you take a step to him, he takes a step to you. So today I'm asking you, if you're physically able, if you can, and if you need to, then I'm going to ask you to come up here and pray. You can stand, you can kneel, but if you need to, do not just sit there. Come up here and pray. I will pray with you. The people in their chairs that don't come up, they're not going to be judging you. They're going to be praying for you. That's how this works. We're a family of God, and we lift each other up. We pray for each other. But if you need to do that today and you're able, then I'm going to invite you right now. Come up here to the front and let's pray. And if there's anybody, if you can't physically make it up here, you could raise your hand and someone will come back and pray with you. And it's that simple. But this morning, if you need to pray, God, I've let some things come in and they have kind of muddied up who I am, and I want to be made pure again. Come up here today. Is there anybody? Is there anybody else? Okay. If everybody would stay at your seats and just pray for a minute, I'm going to ask a couple guys to come up here with me. I know this morning that God spoke to us. I know this morning that God blessed us during worship. And I know God spoke to us through his word today. And I know that today, people were changed. The power of God's word, the power of God's presence, the power of God's spirit. Never doubt what God can do. Never doubt what God can do. This week, don't deny the power that can make you godly. Read your Bible. Pray. Get closer to God and see what he has for you. You never know where he wants to take you until you start to draw really close. I challenge you to that this week. Stay pure and keep away from the things we know that we shouldn't be near. Okay? Well, we love you guys and pray for you guys often. If you ever need anything, please call, text, message, carrier pigeon, whatever you got to do, we'll find it and we will help you in any way we can. I'm going to pray today and we're going to get out of here. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done today. Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor because it has nothing to do with any of us. It is you. It is your presence. It is your power. It is your word. It is everything that you laid before us. Lord God, you love us and you've always loved us. And you want the best for us. And I pray, Lord, that while you are correcting, while you are teaching, while you are purifying us, I pray, Lord, that even though it may not be enjoyable, help us to stay focused on the fact that you love us because we are your children and you have great things planned for us. And you wouldn't be taking the time to discipline and correct if you didn't love us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. And we just pray, Lord, fill this house with people who need to hear your message. Lord, I pray that as we go out this week, that we not only draw closer to you, but put people in our path that we could speak blessings to, that we could invite to church, that we could just tell about you. Let us have more of that power that does make us godly. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. I pray this in your name. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a great, great, safe next, I would say weekend, but it's just one more day, so enjoy it while you have it.